It's football at 4 on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
Welcome to it, football at 4. The Broncos are still going through their OTA stuff. I heard from Emmanuel Sanders today.
You did?
Yeah.
Personally?
Mm-hmm.
A call?
Text.
Hey, D-Mac.
Mm-hmm.
This is Emmanuel. What's going on?
Well, you know what? I'll keep a lid on what we're talking about, but it was a response to something else, and it was cool to hear from him.
All right, so it was a personal reach out. It wasn't a group text.
No. No, he's... Listen.
Hey, Emmanuel texted me, as well as 5,000 of his other friends.
No, it wasn't like that.
Okay, good.
Yeah, I want to avoid the super specifics of it, although I'd be happy to share it maybe down the road a little bit. But I think Emmanuel does see what his role should be this year. He is the lone survivor in terms of offensive players that have a ring from the last Super Bowl. He's it. And so, if I would put the odds of him making the team and getting the 8.5, I'd put it like 80% that's going to happen. I mean, I guess in the world of anything could happen in veteran cuts, I suppose, you know, crazier things have happened. But I'd put it as high as 80% that the Broncos like what they see. He's fine to play, and he gets signed up for the year.
I will agree with that percentage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, what happens after that, I don't know. Nobody knows. He doesn't know. I mean, and he's unfortunately, because of the injury, not in the same position Chris Harris would be in to really, you know, want a new deal. And he's just not in that same position. And he knows that, too. So that's not a mystery or a slight or anything. It is what it is with the injury. He's going to have to just take on a kind of a more significant role than ever before. He should clearly be one of the leaders on the team.
Yep.
And if he's not a captain, I mean, I don't even know what to say about that. I mean, it's so preposterous that the two offensive captains clearly should be Emmanuel Sanders and Joe Flacco.
You don't want to get the young guys a sense of ownership on the team. You don't want to open it up to... I can't argue with the quarterback and Emmanuel Sanders. I can't argue with either one of those at all. At the same time, if I'm a coach, I want these young guys to feel some ownership. I want them to feel a leadership role. I don't know if it's Philip Lindsay, if it's
Corbin. Over Emmanuel Sanders?
No, I'm not saying over. You can make it three captains. Just
Well, they really don't do that.
One of these young guys involved.
Okay. I mean, they do two offensive, two defensive, and two special teams.
Yeah.
The two special teams ones are definitely like a stretch. Like two special teams guys.
Trying to be fair.
I guess.
But I just think the...
Like, I think they gave Brandon McManus the captainship as a kicker just because, you know, he's been around. But how can a kicker be your captain? I mean, come on.
It's special teams captain.
Andy Janovich should be the special teams captain.
And your kicker shouldn't be one of them?
No. Silly.
No matter how experienced the kicker is?
How is a kicker supposed to lead you in terms of anything?
Adam Vinatieri can't lead you?
No. Of course not. Nobody's going to listen to him about anything.
What? Adam commands much locker room respect. He's going to the Hall of Fame.
As a kicker?
Yeah.
Okay, fine. I'm just saying, like, Andy Janovich is a four-phaser. And is out there.
We need 22.
I mean, Janos. McManus is only a two-phaser. A one-phaser. I mean, what is it? Kickoffs? And what do you do on kickoffs anyways? Nothing to it. And kicking field goals, which is really, really important. But give me a four-phaser for a special teams captain. Like Janovich, special teams. David Bruton, special teams. You could have said Kayvon Webster or Cody Latimer. Those guys were amazing playing special teams. Those got to be your leaders. That's a young guy. And on defense, it's Vaughn, and I would name Bradley Chubb.
Not Chris Harris.
No.
Mm.
Yeah, I know. I mean, it should be Chris,
But why not, Chris? If you're going to go Emmanuel on...
I mean, I'd be fine if Chris was a captain for sure. It's just, to your point, I know what you're saying. You got to hand the reins over to somebody younger at some point in terms of leadership, because there's a whole crew of those guys, more than the older guys.
Right. And they want a voice, man. They want to be respected. And they talk about themselves collectively, this young group of guys.
I think Bradley Chubb's got to be that guy for the future. I think that's who he is. I think that's where he's trending. I think that's his ability level. To me, he's a more clear-cut guy than a younger offensive. I can't think of a younger offensive guy that would be in the same world as Bradley Chubb. If there is, point him out to me, and I'll think about it. But I can't think of one.
Philip Lindsay from a passion, love of the game,
dude,
professionalism,
you can't have
production.
Philip Lindsay over him, man. It's just, there's no way.
But you're going to have Bradley Chubb over Chris Harris.
Yeah. Yeah.
I need more insight on that.
Maybe not, though. You could be right. I mean, you could definitely sway me that Chris really probably should be that guy. But, like, why didn't Chris get it last year? Or, I mean, frankly, Derek Wolf.
I don't have the answer to that.
I heard Stink. Stink was on a tear today. Stink was funny. We have somebody on this station who can't say the word wolf. It says woof.
Woof. Derek Wolf. Woof.
And I love this person, so I don't want him. But Stink was, oh my God. I mean, I was laughing, Stink. I'm not going to lie. When he was like, woof.
Woof.
So mean, though.
Say it right. Say wolf right.
Wolf.
Wolf.
There's an L in there. Wolf.
Wolf.
It's actually not even that hard.
Wolf. You say the L versus wolf. Gotcha.
Who are the Broncos really interested in? Where are they going? What are they doing? I got to get your take on Game of Thrones.
Okay.
All right. The cultural phenomenon. Plenty to listen to. Plenty to have a good time here. We appreciate you riding with us on a Friday here on The Fan.
Listening to The Drive on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
Winter is coming.
All right, well, where do you stand with the Game of Thrones thing, Chad? Where are you at?
I have yet to watch a single episode of Game of Thrones.
Seriously?
Absolutely serious.
Oh.
I will watch every episode coming up. I've bought into...
I'm sorry, what?
I will watch every episode. I'm going to start at the very beginning. I have bought into the hype.
It's 7 seasons. I know. It's got to be at least...
It's going to take me a while.
80 hours.
I'm going to punch through this. I'm excited to see...
Well, when are you going to start this epic journey?
I was thinking about...
To Winterfell.
This weekend. I got a trip this weekend I got to go on, so I was going to get it done and watch...
Get it done?
Watch a couple of episodes. I was going to download them, whatever I have to do to do
this. You don't have to do anything. You can just... Well... Jeez, is Game of Thrones on Netflix? I don't even know.
It's HBO, right? It's HBO.
I guess you have HBO Go. You can do it, too.
Yeah. Well, Dish Network, HBO's no longer on Dish Network.
I don't know how it works.
Good luck with that.
Whatever you do.
Yeah, so I got to subscribe to something or get somebody's password.
Nobody cares.
Yeah.
Okay.
But what about you? Are you a Game of Thrones guy? Have you watched all 7 seasons?
Yes.
Have you missed episodes?
So here's
Into
where I
the
am.
Dragons and Fairies.
I am a non-nerd Game of Thrones fan.
Okay.
And here's what I mean. I did start watching it from the beginning, and I just was like, what is going on? And I stopped. And I just was like, this is stupid. This is dumb. Fairies and dragons and White Walkers. And I'm like, what is going on? And I didn't understand anything. So I stopped. And then I found this guy on YouTube. I think he's called Ozman. And he does Ozman. He does awesome. They're funny. They're highlights. It's like 6 minutes. And he does these great, not good, great recaps of every episode.
I think Sports Illustrated just hired Chris Long to do that for this final season.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I started watching the recaps. And because I started understanding what the hell was going on. And I was confused, like, where everybody was in this story. It's, like, crazy. So I got an app. It's like the Game of Thrones map. I can show it to you. And all of a sudden, I could see what was going on. So as soon as I understood it a little bit better and I kind of got it, I started enjoying watching the show more because I could figure, because then I figured, well, even if I don't understand what's happening, I'll just watch one of these recaps that are fun to watch anyways, and I'll get into it. So I consider myself, not that I'm not a nerd in general, but I consider myself a non-nerd Game of Thrones fan. So if you want to tell me you've never watched an episode, I am not going to judge you, you and Mark and whoever, and I'm not going to say you're wrong because I get it. Fairies, dragons, you know, princesses, you know, all that stuff. Like, they can build these incredible fortresses, but they can't figure out how to build a car. You know what I mean? It's like they've got all this magic and all this apparently amazing advanced technology, but they don't have a good financial system there.
Right. Well, they always have to have, you have to suspend your disbelief.
Yeah, who makes all these clothes? I mean, like, where's their textile industry coming from? Because these people dress and look at the manufacturing of weapons. Where's the plant?
You're asking the wrong questions.
Yeah, because when you look at the thing, there's always like one tiny little blacksmith shop that makes Valyrian swords.
Right.
But still, you see battle scenes, and there's like 10,000 soldiers. Help! Where'd it come from? Where are the shipyards?
Right. It's all in the Matrix. You know, they have guns, but they decide to fight with kung fu. Just shoot somebody.
Right, because and Mr. Anderson will literally get hit 10,000 times and be okay. Why are we still hitting Mr. Anderson?
Right. You have to suspend your disbelief. It works with these things.
Trust me. So I feel stupid that I've kind of invested all this time and energy into it, but I'm so deep into it, I'll essentially watch it because I've got to finish watching it at this point.
I want to see it. It's a huge cultural phenomenon. I enjoy good, you know, storytelling, filmmaking, whatever you want to call it, because it's not really, you know, the movie theater, but I enjoy great movie making. This is what this is, in a long, extended series of movies. These episodes this season are costing $15 million an episode. The amount of money, care, time, storyboarding that goes into this.
It's epic.
Yeah, I've watched the YouTube videos. I've read the Entertainment Weekly. This is all about the Game of Thrones. I'm hooked. I just got to start watching.
Yeah, because the process of making this show is absolutely ridiculous. Like, I saw a special on how they actually invented the Dothraki language. And, like, this dude literally invented a language. Right. So when they're speaking Dothraki, dude, it's not just, like, made-up words. He literally made up a language made up of, like, 2,000 words.
Right.
So when they're giving their speeches in Dothraki, it's actually a real language.
Right.
I mean, come on. How do you not kind of respect that?
I respect the heck out of it. That's why I'm going to watch.
But then again, you're about to make an unbelievable commitment, by the way. I mean, it's going to dominate your life for a good chunk of time.
It's available. I'll be able to do it on my own pace.
Okay. All right.
Every moment of my life will not be, a free moment will not be consumed by Game of Thrones.
No,
just know that.
It will be.
No, it won't.
You'll see. You'll see. But Mike Evans is ripping off these jokes left and right. Mark Schlereth has no idea what he's talking.
Mark's a busy guy.
But see, Mark's at
Costco selling green chili right now.
That's right. Mark too easily just dismisses it like, oh, it's just a bunch of nerds. I don't have to bother with it because I'm, you know, Ogar from Revenge of the Nerds and I just beat up nerds.
No, it's a cultural phenomenon.
Yes. Mark is taking the lazy man's way out of it. Mark looks like somebody from Game of Thrones. He looks like the Dothrakis. He should be into it. All right. When we come back, enough of that. I'm curious. Well, what? You can catch up with the rest of the world, and Sunday it gets going.
Yeah, I won't be watching Sunday.
You know, they created an ice wall that took hundreds of years to build, that 700 feet high and 300 miles long.
I read about that.
Center of it's Castle Black.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. When we come back, Tiger Woods, there was an insane thing.
Insane
thing that just happened at the Masters.
Yes.
And we'll give you the details next.
Winter is coming.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive.
Okay, so not that we, you know, really want to go whole hog with the Masters coverage, but we just saw something that was
bananas.
Was ridiculous.
Bananas for sure.
So Tiger Woods is in the mix, and obviously they have live coverage this afternoon, and you know, Tiger's playing, big ratings, everybody wants to watch Tiger, and Tiger's playing well. So on 14, Tiger hits to the left, and he ends up in kind of in the woods area. Now, at the Masters, there's really no rough. There's no, like, the U.S. Open or the British Open. There's no rough. Right. Even the rough is kind of low.
Mm-hmm.
But there are, you know, sand traps. There's a certain amount of water. But what's interesting about the Masters is there's, even if you make a bad shot, there are certain ways to get out of trouble. So you're really never out of it at the Masters, Chad, which makes it, I think, a fun tournament to watch. Whereas the U.S. Open is such a hard tournament to play well, but it's so awful to watch. Because at the U.S. Open, every hole is like, you know, par four, 485 yards, huge rough on both sides, and a tiny little, you know, landing strip for the ball to go to. So when you watch the U.S. Open, like, you know, two over could win the U.S. Open. Whereas here at the Masters, commonly, people will win 8, 9, 10 under, and that's kind of fun, I think, more fun to watch. So even if you get in trouble, it could make for some incredible shot-making, and you're doing it right in front of the fans. How cool is that? You know, they're right there.
Unless
you have an idiot security person, which we just saw.
That was an old-timer, man.
So Tiger is kind of in trouble, but like I just said, just because you're in a little bit of trouble at the Masters doesn't mean you can't get out of it somehow. And it's a classic shot. Like, he's about 180 yards from the hole. He's got this narrow little sliver of space
kind
to get through.
Kind of between the trees, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he's got to make a freaking awesome shot.
Which he does.
I mean, it's awesome. It puts him about 15 feet from the hole. I mean, it is an incredible shot. So he hits the shot, and then there's this natural surge because you got to see where the ball goes. So the whole crowd kind of has this surge. We just saw, after he hits the shot, and he's walking slowly forward, we see this insane security guy running 100 miles an hour.
Gung-ho.
To do what? I don't know. Stop people, I guess, from getting in Tiger's way.
Right.
But he's not positioned properly to do so. He needs to just stay in his own lane, wherever that might be. He can't worry about people 10 feet in front of Tiger. That's got to be somebody else's, in security world's, job. But this numbnuts goes like a bull in a china shop, and I kid you not, he realizes he's going so fast, he's out of control, and he's headed right for Tiger Woods.
Right.
So he slides on his knee to avoid Tiger, and he clips Tiger's right ankle. I cannot believe we just saw that happen.
Well, I don't think the slide was intentional because it's slick out there because of the rain. So he tried to slow down.
If he didn't slide, he would have literally run right into Tiger.
Well, he was trying to slow down, recognizing he was sliding, decided he would try to go down rather than hit Tiger, ends up, to your point, hit, I'm not sure it was his knee or his...
It was definitely his ankle.
No, Tiger's foot, but what the security guy hit Tiger's ankle
with.
Oh,
I see. I think it was his knee. Yeah.
Ends up hitting Tiger with his knee and Tiger's ankle.
Right.
And Tiger had to walk it off.
He came, like, this close to, like, destroying Tiger's ACL.
Yes.
I mean, we're talking maybe 5 or 6 inches away from just taking out Tiger at the knee.
I can't believe they haven't replayed that yet. I need to see that again. I've been looking at Twitter hoping it would crop up because it was one of the most bananas things I've ever seen.
But you got to understand, the Masters is not going to be a fan of that because, first of all, they're very tightly controlled, all the media they do. And this is absolutely an embarrassment to the organization itself.
So they're going to act like it didn't happen?
Yes, that's what the Masters does. They are crazy like that. They will act like it doesn't happen.
They're gonna go full Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Yep.
You didn't see what you just saw.
That's what the Masters does.
These droids have no use for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you realize, like, Gary McBride is not allowed to ever do another part of Masters coverage because he called the greens bikini wax at some point, like, 20 years ago, and they still haven't forgiven Gary McBride, not McBride. Gary Mc something or other. Gary Mc whatever his name is. McCord. Gary McCord. Sorry. Yeah, he called it bikini. These greens are so slick, it's like they're bikini wax. You're out for life.
That is a little touch over the line.
For life?
But it's funny.
No, they are unbelievable with how they control things. They don't care. I mean, do you remember, like, they don't let women be members and all that sort of stuff? They don't care.
The text line is already on it. It's all over Instagram. There's a Bleacher Report link. to this Tiger trip by security. Woods limps off after security guard slips and falls on his ankle.
I mean, it's... I can't believe what I saw. It's not like Tiger is being rushed by a... First of all, do you know how hard it is to get a pass to go to the Masters? This is not, you know, the drinking alcohol fun that is the Phoenix Waste Management Open. It's the Masters.
Okay, when you see the replay, this security dude comes from, like, 20 feet away.
What is he thinking?
I have no idea. There's all kinds of security behind Tiger prepared to block the fans. This guy comes out of nowhere. It's almost like in Happy Gilmore.
So anyway, Tiger, this is so, first of all, he hits this great shot. Now he's got maybe an ankle injury from this moron. Well, what does Tiger do?
He gets him nicely with his knee.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Coming like a bat out of hell. What is he doing? It's just insane. I mean, it's so insane.
Oh, man. Look it up.
So
look it up.
You want to talk about the legend growing. What does Tiger do? He freaking goes to the hole and drains the birdie putt. What does he do on the next hole? We just saw it seconds ago. Drains another birdie putt. So Tiger goes from a security guy trying to de-cleat him to making two birdies in a row. All and right. Everybody in Augusta now is freaking fired up because I think Tiger's sitting at 6 under and he'd be one shot off the lead. I mean, double check my math here. And I believe he's going to, this looks like 18. Well, maybe it's 16, which is an awesome par 3.
Wow.
This is why, I mean, this is awesome.
Totally awesome. It just adds to the legend of Tiger.
So he's 6 under. I got it. He's 6 under. He just went 2 under on the first two holes. He's 4 under on the back nine this week. And he's at the, I think he's at the par 3, 16, which is a freaking awesome hole.
Have you played this course?
No. Oh, my God. Are you kidding me? Oh, my God. That would be amazing. No, Stokely has, though. Guess why?
Oh, there's no question why.
Or
who hooked it up.
Because he's from Louisiana. Anyway, who knew golf could be exciting, but that just happened, and Tiger's on a roll, and it's awesome. When we come back, though, let's get the Nuggets going, and let's hope that they aren't a disaster like the Avs were last night. Earl Boykins previews the Nuggets and the Spurs with us next.
Stay in your lane.
Now you have a friend in the jewelry business, Shane Company and ShaneCo.com.
Did you see that game last night?
Ooh, instant classic.
I can't believe how much Burton was sweating in the ninth. You could see each bead dripping off his brow.
I didn't see him sweating.
My girlfriend was blown away by his clear skin. She kept going on and on about what his daily regime is. It was pretty impressive. I'm sure you noticed that.
Yeah, I didn't notice his smooth skin.
Either you don't have a girlfriend or you don't have DirecTV.
I don't have either, actually.
Wow. Really?
Live sports that aren't in 4K are just kinda TV. Only DirecTV has the most live sports in 4K. Don't just kinda TV, DirecTV. Switch from Dish and get a $100 reward card. Limited 4K programming available. Requires entertainment package or higher. Compatible equipment. Reward card with 24-month agreement. Maintain service and redeem within 75 days. Card within 4 weeks. Ends 6/30/2019. Select markets only. Requires 2-ring setup. Minimum $47 per month for 12 months after discount. Prices higher in second year. New residential customers only. Equipment lease, activation, installation, early termination, equipment non-return, and other charges and restrictions apply.
Are you hiring? With Indeed, you can post a job in minutes, set up screener questions, then zero in on qualified candidates in an online dashboard. Get started at Indeed.com/hire.
All 2018s and 2019s must go during spring clearance at Lazy Days RV. Shop the nation's top selection of RV brands like a Keystone fifth wheel, only $337 a month. Lazy Days RV, Denver and Loveland. 20% down plus tax, title, and fees if approved. See dealer for details.
Hello, Colorado. David Szymanski here, and this segment is brought to you by U.S. Mortgages. Talk to us first.
It's The Drive on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
It's awesome to have my guy, Earl Boykins, presented by Rocky Mountain Forest Products. RMFP.com. Check out Earl and Zach on the Mile High Hoops podcast. at 1043thefan.com.
A guy like Derek has grown so much for you this year at that position. Do you ever know what to expect from him when now he has to do it in the playoffs?
No, he's pretty steady. You know, it's not like watching Manu. You know what you're going to get from Derek, and he's just getting smarter and smarter. And every week that goes by, he's going to have a great future. And at this point, I don't know how he could improve any more during the year. He was wonderful.
Talking about Derek White, the CU standout who grew up in the Springs and is now a valuable member of the Spurs. Earl Boykins joins us. Hi, Earl. How are you, friend?
I'm good. How you guys doing?
We're doing well. Tell us about what do you think about Derek White? What kind of player is he? NBA player is he?
I'm impressed by Derek White. He's developed into one of the better defending point guards in the NBA. I believe he's top five defensively, and offensively he's steady. He doesn't do too much as a point guard offensively. He's really solid offensively, but he's a great defender.
Earl, Chad Brown here. Good to talk to you. It's been a long time. Coach Malone joked early on when this matchup came out that Popovich has got five rings and he's got a wedding ring. How much do you think the difference in coaching playoff experience will make in this first series of the playoffs?
I think it'll be big. I'm interested to see what adjustment the Nuggets make when they lose. I think that's going to be important because I believe throughout the course of this playoff, not just this series, but if the Nuggets are to win this series, I believe they're going to have to move Will Barton to the bench and start Torrey Craig at some point in the playoff. I just don't know if it'll be within the first two games or the first four, but I do see the Nuggets, that's going to be a change that they make in this playoff.
But give me why. Cite that. Give me your footnote on that. Why is that move important?
It's important because Will Barton, he's a scorer. And it's easier to score when they come off the bench. The guys on the second unit aren't as good as the guys on the first unit. And I think, especially towards the end of the year, Will, he's not in a groove at all. He's having trouble scoring. I just think Torrey Craig is a much better defender. And with Will Barton out there in the starting five, the Nuggets basically have three offensive guys, and two defenders. By that I mean you have Jamal's offense, Will's offense, and Joker's offense. If you make the change over to Torrey Craig, then you have two offensive players and three defenders. And I think that's going to be important in the playoffs.
Earl Boykins is our guest. Okay, why have the Nuggets been so successful against the Spurs this year?
They're 2-2. So they're 2-2. They haven't won in San Antonio, I think, 4 or 5 years. So slow your roll,
D-Mac. They're not that good against the Spurs. That's basically what you're saying, right?
No, I guess 2-2 is successful, I guess. That's not bad, but they struggle in San Antonio. Other than Paul Millsap, I don't know if there's a guy on this roster that has won in San Antonio.
I see where you're going here. And it's the big question. How does a team with virtually no playoff experience do in the playoffs when everything changes, right? I mean, that's the biggest concern, correct?
I think the factor is on the beach. How is he going to respond to the physicality of the playoffs? In a regular season, he gets upset when he doesn't get fouls. He's not going to be in the playoffs. He won't get fouls for Jamal. Because the NBA is a league of, how do I say this the right way? It's a league of, and the Nuggets, because they don't have players have.
We're just having some phone problems with Earl, so. Earl, we were just having some phone problems there with you. We got most of that, but not all of it. Let me just get you real quick before we lose you. And we're going to have you on during the series, which is fantastic. Early projections, though. What do you predict for the Nuggets here in this series?
I believe the Nuggets will win 4-3.
Wow!
I believe
we're going to a game seven.
Four, For sure.
Wow.
For sure. For sure, it's going to be a game seven. I think San Antonio will split. They'll get one of these two games. And for the Nuggets' sake, I'm hoping that they could get either game three or four. I think the home team wins four, five, and six, and seven. So I'm pulling for the Nuggets to win 4-3, but, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if the Nuggets lose 4-2 also.
Oh, my God.
Just because of the experience. Just because of the experience of San Antonio. I think it's going to be a very difficult first round for the Denver Nuggets. And, you know, they're going to have to play great playoff basketball.
All right, great stuff, Earl. We appreciate it. Thank you so much. Have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you next week as the series rolls on. Earl Boykin's presented by Rocky Mountain Forest Products, RMFP.com. Earl and Zach do a great job on the Mile High Hoops podcast at 1043thefan.com. Game seven, first round?
It wasn't a very positive assessment from Earl.
Well, because Earl's just speaking what everybody's feeling, which is how does a team with hardly any experience, even though they're, you know, higher ranked, obviously, at the two, do against, like, the most experienced coach in the NBA with a bunch of players that have that sort of seasoning?
Exactly. And this is what I brought up before when you were saying that the Nuggets were a better team. I was like, yeah, they're a better regular season team, but are they a better playoff team?
Well, I'm going to stay positive. What am I supposed to do, crap all over the team in the playoffs now? They just have, like, one of their best seasons of all time, and I don't think that's going to translate? No.
No. It's fine to be positive.
I'm Captain Positive.
I was just trying to point out that Earl and I are along the same lines of thinking here, and I thought his thought about, you know, the adjustments that the Nuggets make when they lose, because they are going to lose a game in this series, and their ability to adjust in playoff basketball mode. One thing to adjust in the regular season, to adjust in playoff basketball mode, not just from a schematic standpoint from Coach Malone, but also the players, how do they adjust their games? And he was talking about, you know, the physical play against the Joker. What are you going to do with that? How does he respond? How does he adjust to that?
It'll be fun to watch.
Yeah.
Gary It'll Kubiak be fun to
quote.
Watch.
Gary Kubiak quote applies this big time. We're fisting to find out.
Yeah. But I'm telling you this, if they, I mean, it was, listen, man, last night sucked, okay? Let's keep it real. DU loses in overtime. Great comeback, losing overtime. Abs, I mean, it was close, but it, you know, got embarrassing as the score went. Then you turn over to the Rockies, they can't get one run?
Nope.
No! God, please, no! Last night it was brutal. I'm watching the Pios, and like, I'm like, oh, okay, there's no. Okay, they were down. They'll pull it out. Nope. Well, you know, we'll get, well, no, we lose. Oh, okay. All right, 2-0 Avs. Oh, McKinnon, you know, we'll, you know, they'll get a goal, and then it's going to be really exciting. Oh, no, 3-0. Okay. I mean, hey, it's 1-0. We're going to get up. No. Mm-mm. Like, Charlie Blackman hit a bullet towards the second baseman. The guy's, like, Superman dive to make an incredible play, like, in the 9th inning.
Uh-huh.
By the way, thanks for the lineup, Richie. They are changing things just a tad there in Nugget Land, or Nugget in the Rockies world, but Charlie's like still leading off. So it's Charlie, Hampson, Arenado, Story, Desmond, Fuentes, Daza, Walters, Bettis.
You're not loving that, huh?
Well, Charlie all of a sudden is looking old. Like, when did this happen?
Looking very mortal.
Like, when did Charlie Blackman just look like, you know, I mean, old? He's in a wheelchair. Like, Charlie made another error out there in right field, and I don't know, man. Like, all of a sudden, Charlie looks like kind of too big and kind of plodding along, and it's just like, what the hell? Where did this come from?
You feeling Pedro Gomez's optimistic message?
I wouldn't be leading him off. I would be hitting him lower in the lineup. I'd be taking some pressure off. And this young guy, Hampson, I would be hitting Hampson, Story, Arenado. And I don't know. The rest of it's a disaster. I guess I'd have to hit Charlie fourth. But I'd do something like that. I'd be mixing it up. And, you know, when you hear Earl say, well, maybe, you know, Barton's got to be on the bench, whatever. You know, it's like, okay, there's different ways to approach things.
Right.
Like, let's not be beholden to doing the same things the same ways over and over and over again. And right now, I think you got to shake it up. I mean, no matter what. You got to do something.
That is mandatory at this point.
And I'm not saying you got to, like Desmond not play at all, but the guy stinks. And it's just this, I mean, you unfortunately have invested, I think they got another $38 million into him for the next 3 years. So before you throw away $38 million, you got to see.
It's not your money.
But, hey, yeah, right. What do I care? All right, I got another mock draft for you for the Broncos. There's a laundry list of names that we should go through in terms of who they're interested in, which is kind of cool. And we'll get you fired up for the weekend. And hopefully we'll see another security guy try to take out Tiger. All that and more still to come, right, Mark Schlereth?
It's your daily exclamation mark with Mark Schlereth, brought to you by Schomp BMW.
You know, Mike Evans, there's a quote I love when it comes to sports in general. I think it came from James Street, who told me this one time. The good ones learn from their mistakes. The great ones learn from others' mistakes.
Ooh.
So here's the deal. Nuggets, what can you learn from the Avalanche playoff debacle last night? You know, because I'll just say the one game debacle. There's still a series here, but it wasn't a good game. Because when it comes to playoffs, you know what you got to do? You got to do this.
You got to get angry. You got to get mean.
Playoff hockey and regular season hockey is not the same. You've got to be willing to get in the corners to make sure that you're not letting guys skate one-on-one with your goaltender. You've got to be able to do the dirty work and play that style of hockey. Basketball, same thing. Everybody you talk to that has been a part of the NBA playoffs, that is now currently an analyst, or even guys that have been in the playoffs, will tell you it's a completely different game. It's officiated differently. The defensive intensity is different. All those things are completely different. So I hope to be a great team, you watched the Avalanche last night, and I hope what you take away from that is that it's not the same. Regular season and playoff, whether it's hockey or basketball, completely different. So to be great, learn from others' mistakes, because the Avalanche weren't quite ready for playoff hockey. So that's my suggestion to you, the Nuggets. Be ready. You're not going to get the calls. You're going to have to muck it up. It's going to be different. There's officiating is going to be different. And you've got to be able to be ready for all those things on Saturday night when you get your titties on the court.
Mark Schlereth and Mike Evans, Monday morning at 6 on Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.